This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for inviting me today. It's a great pleasure to be here. And it's really pleasing to see some familiar faces in the room. How many of you actually had support from ELSIS programmes or have been involved with ELSIS? Nearly everyone. That's good news. I hope it's all been positive. What I'd like to do is just spend a little bit of time talking to you about where we've been with our support programmes, but also start and think about some of the challenges that we face at ELSIS in continuing to provide support, which we know is still absolutely crucial because of the things that Helen has been talking about. Our previous programmes have been very much focused on giving learners the skills and appetite they need for learning. And obviously that's due to the fact that we've tried to help organisations provide learning that's relevant and meaningful. And as Helen's rightly pointed out, that pedagogy is absolutely crucial to enable that to happen. But from an organisation point of view, the way that provision is actually positioned in that organisation is absolutely crucial as well. So that is why we've focused very much in providing a sort of strategic level of support as well. In terms of where we're going then, in terms of challenges, there are challenges, we know there are challenges, and particularly with the task that's still ahead of us, one of those is the fact that there is going to be a lot less money for all of us, particularly for ELSIS, and I've got there that we need to do more with it, and it might not be necessarily to do more with it, it might be necessary to do things differently. And on top of that, we've got the need to actually think about other areas of work that we can start and feed in literacy, language, numeracy provision. And that's the sort of thing that ELSIS has been trying to do for a number of years. And particularly the challenge, again, is for us over the last year is thinking about how we can help organisations through this sort of myriad of qualifications where we've got functional skills, key skills, skills for life qualifications. And, you know, that has been quite a difficult task to do, is how we help organisations through that. And I know Mark will talk a little bit more about qualifications later on. So we've got challenges, but at the same time, what that is offering, it's offering opportunities to do things differently. And as you probably are aware, ELSIS has changed the way that we work. And our programmes really are now driven by the sector. They're not actually delivered. We're not top-down approach from BIS or Skills Funding Agency. We've got an opportunity here to actually work with you, with the sector, to shape our programmes and deliver those programmes. And those of you that have worked with us will know that from last year, 60% of our funding now has to go to the sector. And that is moving on to 70%, which means that a lot of our delivery is now delivered by people like yourselves through the sector, which is not only a challenge, it's a challenge for you, it's a challenge for us, but it does actually provide wonderful opportunities for you to be involved to shape how things are going forward. And what I want to do this morning is just talk to you a little bit about how that's happened over the last year and share some of the challenges and successes of that approach. The programme that we've pioneered, really, our pioneering programme to actually deliver this sector, with 60% of the sector, is our Support for Literacy, Language and Numeracy programme. And the programme that was sort of the predecessor to that was the Skills for Life Support programme. You might say, well, what's different? But the difference is the fact that the programme is predominantly delivered by the sector. And as you would probably guess, some of the priorities that we've focused on for that programme is this whole organisation strategic approach. But numeracy, and I know Karen will talk more about numeracy in a little short time, but thinking about how we're actually going to create networks in regions of high-performing providers that can support others. And I talked earlier on about no centrally delivered programmes, and this is the first step of actually thinking about how we can respond to regional needs by involving sector providers. So, high-performing providers, we've got quite a number, and I'll come to those, the providers, in a minute. But what we've tried to do is get providers to come to us and work with us that represent a whole range of settings. So we've got providers from community learning, voluntary community sector, work-based learning, further education colleges, prisons, the whole across the whole range of contexts that have come forward and supporting other providers. And obviously that's been a challenge because a lot of those providers, although they're actually good at dealing with learners, to actually go out and support peers is quite a different job. And that requires quite a bit of support from us. And I know Hillary's in here. Hillary, you've been one of our lead providers, haven't you?
We have, yes.
Yeah. And does it work well for you?
Yeah, it's been a very different experience because we've been working within the prison sector and helping the workforce, not the inmates, to understand their literacy and numeracy needs. And quite often that was challenging because lead personnel within prisons didn't always understand that they had needs themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if they had needs, then, you know, there was a barrier.
Yeah.
So the program's lasted for the year. It's been very good, and it has some sustainability for the future, despite the funding going shortly. Quite so helpful. We'd say yes in the West Midlands, a new approach and a very interesting approach.
Thank you. And that really goes back to the point Helen was making about the skills of the staff. They're really important. So we've got 9 regional programmes. We've supported 368 providers. And there are 82 high-performing providers that have actually provided that support. And that has been in... The support has been via a varying sort of medium, if you like, through consultancy, CPD, peer working groups, study visits and webinars. And webinars are proven to be really popular because it's allowing people to participate nationally without actually leaving their organisation. The themes, again, you would expect probably to see those themes, and you would think after perhaps 5 or 6 years of support, organisations wouldn't be needing that level of help. But I can assure you, a lot of the organisations that we're supporting are either new, they're struggling because they've had changes in staff, and particularly the areas of assessment and numeracy are key areas that we need to focus on. I know Karen will bring that out in a minute. So we've tried to be as responsive as possible, bearing in mind that we're dealing with such a wide range of organisations. Interestingly then, bearing in mind this didn't start till last September-ish, at the moment, because we've supported 360-odd organisations, out of those 360-odd organisations, about 4,000 individuals accessed some form of CPD, and about 1,200 individuals have actually been involved in peer working groups. So I think the successes there are quite significant in terms of a programme that's not been operating very long in terms of this model of delivery. And already there's some impact coming through. Those providers that have actually been involved with it showing that there are significant numbers that are actually addressing this whole organisation approach and prioritising numeracy. So that's very, very encouraging. And some of the quotes that we're getting back from organisations and individuals, again, are encouraging. Obviously, they're not all positive, and those are the things that I'll come to in a minute when we talk about challenges. But I think one thing that is coming through very strongly is this actually move to getting more sort of practical, hands-on teaching and sort of motivational teaching that we know that learners need. Some of the challenges, obviously, as you can expect, with a new programme, there was an initial slow start-up. And that was not due to the fact that it was just a new programme. There were other challenges at the time, like, for instance, the comprehensive spending review, and that didn't help. So we did have quite a bottleneck of delivery that went on early sort of in the new year, February, March time. In terms of lead providers, it's been quite an interesting journey because some of them were really keen to be involved, but they hadn't necessarily got the capacity to provide a lot of support. So that's something that we've had to wrangle with, and we've had to bring other providers on board as the journey has sort of gone along. And certainly, we've had to provide quite a considerable amount of support to move from actually delivering an organisation to learners to supporting other organisations. And that's something that we're going to have to get better at as we move further down the road. And obviously, things there, what practitioners intend to do differently, more practical learners, I've mentioned, moving away from worksheets. I'm sure Karen will be pleased to hear that. But, you know, it's still there. We know it's still there, and we've got to do more about it. And functional skills has been a really difficult journey for us over this last year. And we've called the programme the Support for Literacy, Language and Numeracy Programme because we've still got this plethora of qualifications. We've got skills for life that have been delivered with adult learners. We've got functional skills with full-time 16 to 19s. And then we've got key skills that have been delivered in apprenticeship programmes. So I think that's probably been the biggest challenge for us, is how do we support providers in that very sort of fluid landscape. Having said that, all the underpinning skills that practitioners need and the actual infrastructure that is needed in the organisation are very, very similar, whether it's skills for life, key skills, functional skills. So we've very much focused on not throwing the baby out with the bathwater and concentrated on actually working on strategies that we know work. So, lessons learned for sustaining the model. I've mentioned some of these things already. So we'll continue to strengthen the network of lead providers, and I'll come on to that in a minute. We need to provide more opportunities for networking, and again, that is in place by offering opportunities for study visits, etc. And also to bring in experts where that expertise may not be available in lead providers, and we're already doing that, and we will continue to do that. Some of you may have already seen starter kits. We've got a range of starter kits which lead providers have used. So those starter kits cover all the areas that I mentioned earlier on. And what those starter kits do, they bring together all the key resources that we know work under different themes. So please have a look at those. They're on the Excellence Gateway. We still publish the Update magazine online. And again, in that magazine, it gives a regional picture of what's going on in the 9 regions. Some things there that are going to happen in September. I hate to say this, but we are going to do a functional skills starter kit in the absence of any guidance. But that will bring together resources that are already there. It won't actually create any new resources. And next steps, evaluation process is going on. Those of you that are already involved with lead providers, that's great. But we are creating a lead provider register, and that there is an application process that's going on at the moment. I'll put the website address up there. If any of you are thinking you want to be a lead provider, have a look at that. And please, if you think you want to get involved, apply to ELSIS. And all the details are there at that website address. If you want to talk to us, I've got my colleague Tricia, who's sitting at the corner there. Put your hand up, Tricia, she's there. Tricia works with me at ELSIS on Literacy, Language, Numeracy. If you want to talk to us, if you want to email us, or if you want to talk to us today, please do that. We'll be very happy to hear your comments. We'll receive your views and your ideas about shaping what ELSIS does. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Robert.